I just want to share something the Lord's laid on my heart. We've been looking at David the shepherd, and that's our theme for today. And as I was praying it through, God led me to a really unusual passage that you may not think links to a shepherd, but we're going to read it anyway. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 23, and if you have your Bibles, you might be interesting to follow. And if you see in the NIV, we read in bold, it's David's last words. And we know that because it says, these are the last words of David. So interesting last words. We're not going to dwell on them, but let's listen to these last words of David. The last words of the one who should point us to Jesus. What did he say? The inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, when one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning. What a lovely day to read those words that David the shepherd would have known so well. He is like the light of morning at sunrise on a cloudless morning, like the brightness after rain that brings grass from the earth. If my house were not right with God, surely he would have not made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns, which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. Last words of David. Reflecting on God's goodness and his experience as the shepherd. But then, after the last words of David, we have this story in the life of David. Hang on a minute, we've just had the last words of David. Now we return to an incident in the life of David. Well, perhaps we don't quite know when this incident happened. It probably was just after he was made king, but it was certainly before his last words. But maybe there is something really significant of why this incident is recorded after his last words. And we're going to read from verse 13 of chapter 23. During harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam. That's why we think it's probably 2 Samuel 5, just after he was made king and was battling the Philistines when he was at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water. David longed for water. David longed. For water? For water? And said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So the three mighty warriors break through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. And then it gets even more interesting, this story. You're confused. Why is this so significant? We then get the interesting bit. But David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Far be it from me, Lord, to do this, he said. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives? And David would not drink it. What an interesting story, hey? Why is it so held at the end of David's life that this story came? And perhaps it is this word, because David was thirsty. He was thirsty. He was thirsty. Why was he thirsty? He was thirsty. He'd been in battle. He'd been in physical ardour, physical fighting, physical labour. He probably extended all of his energy, and no doubt, like if you've ever done lots of physical energy and you need water, he literally wanted water. He was dying for water. It may have been, some commentators say, that actually this was him trying to get his army to destroy the Philistines who we were told in Bethlehem. I'm not sure. But maybe he was just thirsty for victory, thirsty to finally overcome his enemies. Or perhaps he was just thirsty. Where did he want the water from? He didn't want any old water. He wanted water from a well in Bethlehem. Where was David born? Bethlehem. Perhaps he was just wanting to go back. Wanting to go back to a time when all was well. To go back to a time in his mother's household where he was cared for, where he was looked after, where there was no worries in the world. He was thirsting for peace. And here we have the shepherd David, thirsting. Shepherd knowing the value of living water, knowing the value and the importance of how water can quench your thirst. And when you're looking after sheep in a desert, where you're fighting off wolves and animals, there is a point where living water, where water is the only thing that can satisfy. And I believe David is right here in this situation, and he is thirsty. Nothing is satisfying him. He cannot find satisfaction, whether that's because he's in constant battle. Maybe that's because he was longing for a past long ago. Whatever it was, he was thirsty, and he knew the value of living water because the location of the living water was in Bethlehem. And as we've always said, he was thirsty, and there was only one place that could meet that thirst. And as we keep on saying, David is there to point us to the great Messiah, to the great King Jesus. Where was Jesus born? Not a trick question. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Where is the living water found that can satisfy? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty? Worn out from the battle you're facing? Are you thirsty, longing for a time when life was easy? Are you thirsty, longing today? It's good to thirst. It's good to thirst. But the living water can only be found not from the one who sent men to Bethlehem, but from the man who came from heaven to Bethlehem as the living water. If anyone drinks from me, Jesus says, they will never thirst again. Are you thirsty? Maybe you've gone to the wrong place. Maybe you've gone to Wallingford water wells, or the water wells of sport or money or relationships. You'll be thirsty again. David needed to go to Bethlehem. The living water. We need to go to Bethlehem to know that God became a man to become living water for us. Are you thirsty? That's why we come to this table. Not because we're sorted, not because we're all well fed and everything's going well. We come to this table because we know the living water came to Bethlehem. And the living water was poured out. Why was David poured out the water? Because ultimately it points to the living water. The one who offers us the living water was poured out for us on the cross so that we would never thirst. Because David, as the shepherd, not only knew the value of living water, he not only knew the location of living water, he also knew the cost of living water. That's why he wouldn't drink it. The cost was too much. Three of his best warriors risking their lives for him to have water. Ridiculous. Waste of resources. Too big a risk. But David knew living water is costly. And so he poured it out, reminding us that Jesus paid the greatest cost, poured out his life so that he wouldn't have to be thirsty. Are you thirsty? come to this table. Come and find living water. Know from the great shepherd David and the good shepherd himself that the good shepherd laid down his life to quench your thirst. So be thirsty, but come to the one who can give you living water. But this also reminds me that, as I've said before, that David is that type of Christ. He is the one who points us to Christ, and it reminds us that Jesus, he was thirsty, wasn't he? When was Jesus thirsty? What did he say on the cross? I thirst. I thirst. What was Jesus thirsty for? Yes, it reminds us of his need of his physical body and the pain and the suffering he went through. But do you really think he was thirsty for water? Or do you think he was thirsty for you and me? Do you think he was thirsty to have a relationship with those that he died for? Do you realize that Jesus this morning is thirsty? He is still thirsty because he wants to be quenched by our response, our love. And he is thirsty because he gave his life so that you could adore and love him and say that he's beautiful and say that he's wonderful and say that he's the living water that is that satisfies all your deepest desires. Jesus, like David, thirsts. And he thirsts for you. He thirsts for each and every one of you. God, who has everything, who has no need of anything, has a thirst for you. And this morning, he's thirsty for you. He wants you. He wants you to respond. He wants your love. He wants you to be satisfied with him as living water. Know that Jesus has called you here right now because he's thirsty for you. He wants your love. He wants you to respond to him. He wants you to find him to be your living water. And finally, as we respond to Jesus' love and gift and thirst for us, what is our response? Surely it's the response of David to pour the living water that we have received and to pour it out for others. Mother Teresa and her group of nuns, their motto was this very phrase of Jesus on the cross, I thirst. Jesus thirsts for your soul, for your life, for your devotion. But he also thirsts for the love and devotion of all those who aren't here this morning. He thirsts for them. And like these three mighty warriors, when you know that Jesus is thirsting, you're prepared to do whatever it costs. You're prepared to pour out your life so that Jesus' thirst can be satisfied one by one as people come to know Jesus. If you've met Jesus, if you've experienced his living water and his love satisfying you, Jesus still says, I thirst. And he's looking for mighty men and women, mighty warriors, who are prepared to pour out their lives so so that Jesus can find the devotion and love of the lost. Wow. Perhaps now you may understand why this tiny, unexpected, bizarre story is included completely out of place right after David's final words. Because it's powerful. It's about David the shepherd understanding the value of living water, the location of living water, the cost of living water, and being prepared to pour out the living water. This morning, what about you? What is God saying to you? If you're thirsty, you're in the right place, because we come to the one who came to Bethlehem, who died on a cross so that you could drink from him. And if you're thirsty this morning, come. And as we share communion, this is the way that we drink and that we eat and that we feed and drink on Christ. Be satisfied. But maybe you need to hear the words of Jesus. I thirst. And you need to pour out your life for him. Let's stop playing the receiving only. Let's love Jesus enough to see his thirst and to pour out our life for him. And perhaps we can do that this morning by offering him everything. Everything you have. Your energy, your emotions, your money, your time, your future, your past. And just say, it's all for you, Jesus. I am here today to pour out a drink offering to you, because you are the one who satisfies.